Well, once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry, coming to you today from Mumias, Kenya, out here in the westlands of Kenya, about 10 hours west of Nairobi, just a short distance from the Uganda border. And so we're busy here building a children's home out of village Makunda, which is about 6 kilometers from here. And we thank the Lord for all the provision for the children's home. If you've not been a part of that project, or you've not been able to donate to help contribute to that project, we invite you to do that now. Maybe there's been problems in the past, and we ask you to consider your part in the future to help come alongside this project, help get the children in there, help take care of these African children who are orphaned, and many of them come from abusive situations where they have been abused or kicked around or thrown out of the house or living with drunkard parents, something along that line. And many of them also from the parents who have a HIV AIDS virus. And so we are in the final stages of getting children into the home. We're getting ready probably within the next 2 weeks to start intaking some children. So if you've not been a part of that project in the past, we invite you to do that. And you can go to the Facebook page, facebook.com, Jim Rau, and look at pictures of the orphanage project and see what's going on with Gather the Outcast Ministry here in Kenya. Well, again, we are talking about healing. Does God still heal today? Where does the Bible talk about God's healing power? Is it still for today? Was it just something of the biblical times? Was it just history? What is God's attitude and his ability and power to heal? And so we're looking at healing, and this is part two from chapter 9 of the book of John, the Gospel of John. And Jesus has healed this blind man. Just to give you a little update, a little summary of what we talked about last week, Jesus has healed this man who has been blind from birth. And he went and he washed in the pool of Siloam after Jesus put this mud and saliva concoction on his eyes, and he went and washed in the pool of Siloam, and he was given his sight back. He came and he reported to Jesus he had been given his sight. And so there is a big commotion, a big stir in the village, because this man had been blind his whole life. And so, as you can imagine, many people had an opinion on the situation. Everybody, I guess, would have had an opinion on the situation. And so one of the groups of people, or some of the groups of people that had opinions, were the Pharisees. They were the religious elite of that day. They were the religious scholars, you might say, the people who devoted their life to studying the scriptures and keeping the commandments according to the law. And so in John 9:16, we'll look at this scripture. Therefore, some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, because he does not keep the Sabbath." They were speaking about Jesus, because Jesus had healed this man on the Sabbath. And as you know, the Sabbath was a sanctified day. It was a day set aside for worship and to honor the Lord. It was a day of rest. Sabbath actually means, in Hebrew, it means rest. And so these Pharisees were standing around and they watched Jesus heal this man on the Sabbath. And believe me, brothers and sisters, Jesus did this intentionally. This was no accident. He did this intentionally to break off this spirit of religion associated with the Sabbath. So anyway, therefore, some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, because he does not keep the Sabbath." Others said, "How can this man, who is a sinner, do such signs?" Again, they were speaking about Jesus. And there was a division among them. Well, the division came because, again, the Pharisees believed that no one should do anything on the Sabbath. And so they were trying to set a trap for Jesus. They were trying to get him in a trap and said, "This man has violated the law. He has broken the law because he has healed this blind man on the Sabbath." And on the Sabbath, you're not supposed to cook any pancakes, or you're not supposed to carry any firewood, I guess. It's okay to water your donkey. But so the Pharisees had set up all kinds of rules about what you could do, what you couldn't do, what was okay to do, what was not okay to do. And so the Sabbath became a set of rules, and there was no time to actually rest and worship God. It was all about keeping the rules. And so this is a spirit of religion. And as I said before, Jesus healed this man on the Sabbath. He did it intentionally to break off this religious spirit that was associated with the Sabbath keeping and associated with the life of the Pharisees, because the Pharisees have become so focused on keeping the law, keeping the commandments, keeping the traditions, keeping the rituals. All of that stuff was so important to them that they forgot to see God. They forgot that the whole purpose of the whole thing was to teach people to see God, or show people to see God. And so they became so focused on law keeping, it was like nitpicking, and they were straining out the gnats and letting the camels go on through. And so Jesus was showing the Pharisees that he was Lord over the Sabbath, that he was Lord even on the Sabbath day, that he was Lord, and the Sabbath was under him. The Sabbath, even though Jesus was Jewish and grew up under the law, he was showing that in the new covenant, in his covenant, the new covenant that he was establishing, when he went to the cross and shed his blood, there would be a new covenant established, which you and I live under. And Jesus was showing the Pharisees that this new covenant was not going to be about law keeping. It was not going to be about how righteous you could look to your neighbors. It was not going to be about how religious you could be, that you could make it to church every time at 9 o'clock for 46 years straight. That's not what it's about. It's about loving Jesus. Jesus said in the new covenant, the commandments of God will be written on your heart. And there's only two commandments in the new covenant to keep. And the first is love your Lord God with all your heart, strength, mind, and soul. And then the second is as unto the first, love your neighbor as yourself. And so he reduced all the law keeping of the Old Testament down to two commandments, love God, love your neighbor. And so that is the New Testament covenant that Jesus established with his blood on the cross. Well, again, the religious spirit said this man, he shouldn't be healing on the Sabbath, and he is a sinner, and look, he's broken the law, so what should we do? What should we do? Should we put him in jail, or should we turn him over to the authorities, the Roman authorities, or should we turn him over to the high priests, or just what should we do with him? Well, this didn't come to a head. It didn't culminate until the point came in time when they actually crucified Jesus. But this attitude of condemning and this attitude of crucifying Jesus was starting to build in the Pharisees, because he was a man that was tearing down their religious system. Well, let me say, in relation to healing, religion will make you believe that God doesn't heal anymore today. Religion will make you think that God doesn't have the power to heal you or anybody else today, that it was just a historical event. It was things that happened in the Old Testament days, and we have big hospitals now. We have the Mayo Clinic, and thank God for the Mayo Clinic, but God still heals today. God still heals today. God still sets people free today. God still breaks off the bondage of addiction today. God still delivers people from demonic attack today. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that is the God we know. That is the God we serve. And so a religious spirit, beloved, listen very carefully, will make you believe that God is not in the healing business today. Well, you ask any doctor who is honest with you, and especially a Christian doctor, and they'll tell you that God is the one that heals. They might pull the bandages together. They might put in a new pacemaker. They might put in a new joint. But God is the one that heals. Without him healing, there is no healing. And basically, the doctors are just aids to healing. They're agents. They're human agents. Doctors, nurses, medicine, all of those are agents, agencies that God uses to help heal people. And he works through them. He works with them. And he is the one ultimately who says this person will be healed or not. Well, the second point I want to make here is that testimony follows the healing. When this young man, the blind man, he may not have been so young, but when he was blind, he had been blind for many years, and the blind man answered and said, "Whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. One thing I do know, I was blind and now I see." There's the testimony right there. He wasn't afraid to tell. He used to be blind. Now he can see. This is the before and the after. And so his testimony then was causing a great stir in this village. Well, religious spirit does not believe in testimony. Many people give testimonies of what God has done for them. Many people give testimonies of what Jesus Christ has been in their life and what he has done for their life. I can give you my testimony. At one time, I was a drunk and a drug user, and God had pulled me up out of the ashes. He pulled me up out of the miry clay. The Spirit of God raised me up. The Holy Spirit touched me. Jesus Christ saved me. And so I have a testimony, but many, many people don't believe testimonies, and they don't believe when somebody gets healed. They don't believe when somebody gets changed. They say, well, he's just got prison religion. He's got jailhouse religion or something along that line, or he's not really healed. Did he go to a doctor and get a before and after x-ray, or did he go to a doctor and have all of his files checked out before and after he had this healing? So the religious spirit denies, again, testimony because it denies the power of God. Well, beloved, I pray if you have a religious spirit, I pray that God can break through that religious spirit. I pray that the Holy Spirit can convict you of God's power to save those who are in sin, to save those who are wicked, to save those who need healing, to save those who are drug addicted or in all kinds of crime and drug use. The religious spirit will say God can't do it, but I say in Jesus' name, he can do it. I have seen many, many miracles in Africa and other places where I've ministered, Central America, and I tell you today, God is a miracle-working, supernatural God, and if you don't believe in a supernatural power of God, then you are not worshiping the same God that I am worshiping, or you need to get out of the church and go see what God is doing out here in the bush and just see what a powerful God we serve. Give him a chance to show you his power. Give him a chance to give you a testimony so you can tell some stories and don't just have to listen to other people's. God wants you to get out and pray for people so that they too can come to know his healing power. Pray for people so that they too can be set free from their bondage and set free from their blindness. And if you do that, you will have a testimony. The people you pray for will have a testimony. Everybody will have a testimony. And the Pharisees will be after you. The Pharisees will be trying to run you out of town when you do that. Chapter 9, verse 27, "And the blind man answered him, I told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again?" Because the Pharisees were wanting to hear the testimony. They were wanting to hear his story over again, hoping maybe they could trip him up, hoping maybe that he would tell something differently and they could accuse him of being a liar. And so he said to them, "Why do you want to hear the story again? Do you also want to become his disciple?" And so the blind man is putting them on the spot. He's poking a little fun at them. And I'm sure this was a great embarrassment to them. And then he says, "If this man were not from God," speaking of Jesus, "if this man were not from God, he could do nothing." And so even in his ignorance, he'd never been to Bible college. He'd probably never been to a conference. He'd never read any books, never read the Bible, but in his ignorance, because God gave him back his sight, he knew this to be the basic truth of what was going on. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. And so he acknowledged the deity of Jesus Christ. He acknowledged that Jesus Christ had the power to touch his eyes and to heal him. And so that acknowledgement then was his key to salvation. That acknowledgement was his key to saying Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Well, on down to verse 35, Jesus then said to the former blind man, he said to him, "Do you believe in the Son of God?" Verse 36, he answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him?" In other words, he's saying, who is this man, the Son of God? And again, we have the advantage, we have the privilege and the responsibility also, because we have the Bible. Many, many people in America, they have many Bibles in their houses. They've been to conferences, they have tapes, they have conference materials, they have concordance, they have teaching materials. This man had nothing. And he said, "Who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him?" And Jesus said to him, verse 37, "You have both seen him, and it is he, the Son of God, who is talking with you." And then the blind man, the former blind man, said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshiped him. Well, there it is, beloved, there it is, brothers and sisters. That is the testimony of salvation. He said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshiped him. And so there comes a point in time when all the blind people on the earth encounter Jesus. I'm not talking about blind with their natural eyes, their natural sight. I'm talking about the people who can't see the gospel, the people who can't see the blessings of Jesus Christ. There comes a point in time when every single person will encounter the living God. There comes a point in time when Jesus is going to touch you. He's going to cross your path. And he is going to send the Holy Spirit to convict you. The Holy Spirit may be convicting you right now if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you have never confessed his name, if you've never confessed that Jesus Christ is who he says he is, that he is the Son of God, that he died for you, he shed his precious blood for you. That is the testimony that he wants you to have. That is the testimony that he wants you to tell the whole world. And if you don't have that testimony, beloved, I pray that you will have it after today, that you will say, "Lord, I believe," just like this blind man. "Lord, I believe." And I pray that Jesus will reveal himself to you, that he will show himself mighty to save to you, that you will have no doubts and you will have no questions. When you go to bed tonight, you will know that if you don't wake up in the morning, that if your life is over tonight, if Jesus comes back or you die during the night, that you're going to spend eternity in heaven with Jesus Christ and the angels and your loved ones who knew Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And so all you have to do is say, "Yes, Lord, I repent of my sins. I want to turn from my wicked ways. I want to turn to you, and I want you to be Lord and Savior of my life. I want you to be Lord and Savior. I want to keep your commandments and follow you all the days of my life." And so after he made his confession, he bowed down and he worshiped him. And that is also God's desire for our life, that we worship him. It's out of our worship, it's out of our love for Jesus Christ, our devotion to him, then that becomes the motivation for us to go do something for the kingdom. That becomes our motivation for us to go out and give our testimony, to share what Jesus has done in our life, to let other people know how much we love Jesus, to let other people know how much Jesus loves us, to let other people know that salvation is for them. It is for them, and every single person then can come to know the Lord Jesus. If people really gave their testimony, if people went out and told others how much Jesus has meant to them, how much he has done for them, if people did that, went out and shared, this whole earth would become evangelized in a short time, and we would have no work to do. Jesus could take us all up in the rapture, and our work would be done. Well, then in verse 39, Jesus makes a declaration of why he came into the world. After the man's confession and he started to worship him, then Jesus made a declaration of why he came into the world. Verse 39, Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into the world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may be made blind. If you were blind, you would have no sin, but now you say, 'We see,' therefore your sin remains." And so Jesus is saying, those that think they see everything, those that think they know everything, they're actually blind if they don't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Those that think they have sight to see the world, yes, they can see the world, but Jesus' world is not of the natural world. Jesus is of the supernatural world. And so he's saying, if you can't see the supernatural, if you're not blind to the world so that you can see the supernatural, then Jesus said, you will be made blind. You will be made blind. And isn't that true? That many, many times people's testimony comes after they've been broken, after they've had their earthly riches stripped from them, or their families have broken apart and they've lost their wife, lost their children, lost their business through bankruptcy or whatever. And sickness is also pain on the bed. You know, many times people receive some type of sickness either through their own poor decisions or the fact that it's just a fallen world. We get communicable diseases and we get an accident and we get all kinds of sickness because of circumstances of this life. But sometimes also we get sickness because of foolish decisions we make. People eat a lot of junk and their bodies just can't tolerate all the junk that they eat. Or they smoke cigarettes, or they drink a lot of alcohol, they take drugs, and so their bodies fall apart, their teeth fall apart. And so Jesus said, those that think they see, those who see, they may be made blind. And so Jesus, and through the convicting power of the Holy Spirit, has a way to change people's lives, has a way to change people's hearts. And then he says, verse 41, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, we see, therefore your sin remains. He was talking to the Pharisees and their religious spirit. They were so sure, they were so confident that they knew everything. They were so confident that they were righteous because they were keeping every jot and tittle of the law. And Jesus said, because you say you see, you still have sin. And so he's saying, I'm going to bring things into your life that is going to change your eyesight, that is going to change your perspective on this life. And in Jesus' situation, he himself was the change agent. He himself was the one that came into the life of the Pharisees for 3.5 years, and he turned their world upside down. He called them whitewashed tombs. They were beautiful on the outside, but on the inside, they were dirty and they needed cleaning on the inside. The cup needed cleaning on the inside as well. He said, you bring proselytes to the kingdom of, and you turn them into somebody focused on the nitpicking of the law. And so Jesus was very hard or harsh on the Pharisees in that day. Well, beloved, a religious spirit will keep you from seeing the true God. A religious spirit will keep you from seeing the supernatural God. God wants to do something supernatural in your life. He wants to heal you. I believe God still heals today, as you can tell. And I believe that you can come to know that. You can start praying for God to heal you if you need healing. Or you can start praying for others to be healed. If they need healing, your friends, your family, lay hands on them, pray for them, watch God heal them. And I believe you will have a testimony. You will have a testimony about Jesus Christ as your Lord. If you are not saved, you will have a testimony if you get down on your knees and repent and say, Jesus, show yourself mighty to save me. I need your saving power. I need salvation in my life. I need to know the peace of God in my life. I need the chains of addiction. I need the chains of poverty, the chains of pornography broken off of me. And if you do that today, God will be faithful and true. He will send His Holy Spirit to you. You repent of your sins and accept Jesus. Be baptized. Find a church to attend, a good Bible-believing church, and you will be on your way to having a powerful testimony. Maybe someday you could preach on the radio also. Well, Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We thank you for those of you who have supported us over the years. We invite all of you to pray about your part, coming alongside Gather the Outcast for the projects in Africa and also for the radio broadcast to continue bringing these broadcasts to you each and every Sunday. And we thank you for the opportunity to do that. Stay tuned for contact information coming up right at the end of this broadcast. God bless you. Have a good week. Tune in again next week.